Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. And first off, a major thanks to both my guests. Last second on a Saturday night. I have been busy at work all week. But there was some NFL news that came out today and some news to cover, and the conference championship games are tomorrow, and maybe we can revise our picks and all get our official picks in here. But anyways, kind of a lighter show, but thank you both for joining me.
No problem. Yeah, boss.
No problem.
All right. Can't really get on Trey for being low energy. He showed up, so that's a plus. For me, I'm just glad he's here. How are you feeling, Trey?
I mean, I'm fine. Start of the semester is annoying. Always, starts of semesters are annoying, especially when you have to take a couple classes that you need to take before you move on to what you need to do. And the annoying.
So, yikes.
Do what you need to do, though, so. School sucks. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I despise it. It's annoying.
Well, that's why the off season shows are here. They're to keep you sane. You know, Walker, enjoying life out there in the grand old Michigan.
Sure. Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. All right. Both of you guys sound really thrilled right now. I'm having a good time, honestly. I'm excited, you know, conference championship week tomorrow. There's some big NFL news, potentially NFL news that could change, you know, the trajectory of my favorite team. But I mean, let's start there, because this is, you know, Walker, this impacts you the most. Your guy. The man you've stanned the most over the past, really since I've found you on the internet, Matthew Stafford. Lots of people kind of projected it. I honestly thought I tweeted you like 2 days ago. I honestly, this kind of shocked me when it came out, because I thought that with Dan Campbell there, but he, you know, had decided, hey, I want to stay around and, you know, we'll give this another shot. But no, Matthew Stafford has requested a trade and the Lions will be looking to move him this offseason.
Yeah. Obviously for me and a lot of other Lions fans, it's tough news. It hits hard. He's the best quarterback in franchise history. And really the only reason that he's not had the success that a lot of other high-level quarterbacks have had in terms of postseason accolades and wins and losses is because for most of his tenure, the front office has been incompetent. A lot of his coaches have been incompetent. He simply hasn't been given the tools he's needed to succeed. And he's gotten better pretty much every year of his career. He's more accurate passer now than he's ever been. He's still got an incredible arm. Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's tough to know that your franchise is losing a top 10 quarterback in football just because you've sucked for a long time and he doesn't want to stick around for another couple years of sucking until it gets better again. It's understandable. You know, I understand where Matthew's coming from. I don't blame him. I don't blame the team for, acquiescing and wanting to move him. I understand with a new regime coming in that you want to bring in as many assets as, you know, as many picks and as much cap space as you can, because you're rebuilding the roster and your image. Yeah, it's just, it's not that it's wrong. It's just hard, you know? And obviously, you know, I already tweeted about it. I know it's silly to, you know, get so wrapped up in one guy and whatever. And obviously Matthew Stafford doesn't know who I am, never will. But yeah, it's just, watching him has been one of my favorite things, you know, to do with over the past decade or more, even 12 years, I think. So it's just hard, you know, he's my favorite football player ever. And while I'm at least glad that he's not like retired and I can still watch him, it's going to sting to not watch him in a Lions uniform. I just hope that Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, and the rest of the Lions front office and coaching staff, I hope that their plan works. I hope that the Lions can be good sometime in the near future, really just sometime in the future, I guess. And I know I'll find another favorite player, and I'm sure that the Lions will have more good quarterbacks before I die. But yeah, just for now, it sucks.
Yeah, I'm really sorry, Walker. I know I've come in here with a very positive attitude. I like movement in the NFL. I like when things get shift around. But I am sorry for you, because this does suck for Lions fans, because, you know, I am surprised that I'm one of, like, the few people on football Twitter that gives Matthew Stafford his due praise. I don't understand what I might be, because other people just don't watch the Lions. I, because I know you, and just because I like watching Matthew Stafford, I've watched the Lions. I didn't get a chance to watch as much this year as I have in previous years, when they were, you know, closer as 9-7 teams, or, you know, frisky early in the year when Stafford was playing. But like, it just, it does suck, because I mean, he's been a top five quarterback probably not his entire career, but probably the past, what, 4-5 years, he's been a top five quarterback. It feels like he's just kind of hit that echelon, you know, over the past half decade. But he is extremely good. And I'm sorry that, you know, the Lions could never do anything with it. You're going to depress me here, Walker. I mean, I'm sorry that you live in Michigan and have to root for terrible, terrible sports teams. I feel really bad for you, because I know what it's like to have a team suck, and you know, more power to you. You know, I came on here and I downplayed you how much it sucks to be a Lions fan, but you know, and I actually got some Lions people who were like, "Yo, I can't believe you said that." I never said anything. I never said that it wasn't tough to be a Lions fan. I'm sorry, you know, that you've had to go through this.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. It's, yeah, being a fan of Detroit sports teams has been very difficult for the last 6 years or so. But I've seen, you know, I've seen a couple championships, and I'll see more. So it's whatever. It's just sports. I'll be fine.
For us, Phil Walker, for you and me, for Trey, it's more than sports, you know? It's
yeah, no, I mean, it's a big part of our lives, and I get that. You know, obviously it doesn't affect like my quality of life one way or the other. It's just, you know, obviously it would be more fun if the teams that I rooted for were good. And, you know, So it's, I still get to enjoy watching them, though, at least, you know, it's, I'm still going to watch the teams that I love, and I'm still going to get excited when they do good things. It's just, it's fewer and more far between, but I still appreciate the good things, you know, however little they may be.
I was just about to ask, can you even enjoy watching the Lions over the next couple of years? Like, I don't see how it's going to be possible to enjoy Dan Campbell talking that BS about biting kneecaps off and watching the Lions go for
it. You guys hated on that.
Trey.
You guys both.
Trey. No. Trey, you can't. You're playing into the narrative everybody else is playing into, where they sell one 30-second clip of an hour and a half long press conference, and they're like, "Well, I guess
really insightful things."
No. Just talking about the clip is just adding on to my point that I think Dan Campbell is gonna fail in Detroit. That's
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know if he's gonna fail. I don't know if he's gonna fail or succeed. I don't really have a good read on it right now. I honestly don't. He's not a prototypical head coaching candidate, and yeah, he's got some warts, and yeah, he's a meathead, but
the players all coaches
are weirdos. Like
the players,
yeah, every coach is a weirdo.
We'll see.
The players will play hard for him, and he has said that he knows it's a passing league, and he's looking for an explosive passing game. He's looking to put Swift in the slot. He's looking to put his best players on your worst players.
Yeah.
So he at least has an understanding of modern football. Is he going to succeed? I don't know, but I don't think you can write him off.
He's bringing
– That's fair.
Trey.
I'm just being negative, though.
Here's the thing. He's bringing, I believe last time I looked, Saints personnel with him. So – offense is going to look somewhat like New Orleans. I think that's kind of the DNA he's going for. And, you know, a big part with Matt Patricia, people forget this, is, you know, so many, not just the last year, but almost every year a story came out, has Matt Patricia lost the locker room with, like, shady quotes from anonymous Detroit Lions players being like, this guy's a joke and I hate him. And I just don't think you're going to see that with Dan Campbell, because he's a player's coach. I think his players are going to like him. I think his players are going to play for him. He reminds me of sort of like an Anthony Lynn type, to be completely honest with you. And, you know, I'm just not too worried about it. I think that Anthony Lynn just got hired today. Did he get hired to Detroit?
Yeah, he's the Lions OC.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like that staff already. I mean, Anthony Lynn did really good things with the offense in Los Angeles. He did. He wasn't good at game management, and he wasn't good at clock management, but he's not going to be in charge of that as the offensive coordinator. Like, I like what they have, and I do think these are going to be the right people to keep it around. Before we get to, you know, what else this means for Stafford, to me, Walker, and I think you agree, this signals a rebuild. So who are like the capstone players on this roster that you are rebuilding around? Who is unmovable right now? If you're the
unmovable.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you I know some of these guys don't play premium positions, but I don't think you trade your young players who have showed promise. So I think DeAndre Swift, TJ Hockenson, Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Amani Oruwariye, Jeff Okuda, and those are probably the only seven guys that I think are like, you can't touch.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that actually does sound about right.
I mean,
I was going to say something negative about Jeff Okuda, but I decided against it. So,
well, he wasn't very good his first year. I'll give you, you know, he wasn't very good, but he also had horrendous coaching.
He did.
So I think with Aaron Glenn coming in, a guy who coached him up in high school camps and is a former NFL defensive back, I think that that'll help him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you can only hope and pray that the next coaching staff will help unlock that next pathway in his development, because he has a hope. He's so talented. He's really super talented. And people will look at how and look at the film and how he was bad, but gosh, that there's a reason he was drafted number three overall. He's really talented. He just needs the coaching just to unlock that pathway in his development, which for his sake, I hope it's Dan Campbell's staff, because if it isn't, then who knows? But for now, let's just hope that it's Dan Campbell's staff that's going to unlock his potential that has him, you know, maybe ready to become one of the more talented corners in the NFL. That's just how good it is. That's how high his potential is. His potential is. So let's just hope it's Dan Campbell's squad, hopefully.
You know, I watched all these opening press conferences yesterday because I had some downtime, and I like Dan Campbell. I mean, I like characters, and he's a character, and I think that stuff pays. He reminds me a little bit of like more intense Mike Vrabel, just a little there's not that much of a difference, I don't think, between his personality and Mike Vrabel's. I think they're kind of cut from the same cloth. And I like Mike Vrabel as a coach, and I know you do, Trey. So I think Dan Campbell's going to pan out. I really do. I think the Lions, the new ownership has paid off, and hopefully they've found the right people. And I mean, GMs, I can't judge. I don't even know if George Payton's good, the new Broncos GM. Let's wait to see what the GMs do. But hey, I mean, benefit of the doubt, you know, he can do anything he wants. So anyhow, let's get to, you know, how this affects the rest of the league. So there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks on the move this offseason. And okay, so hear me out. This is a list of quarterbacks that could, I think, get moved this offseason. Not that have been reported, not even that have been rumored. Just quarterbacks that could be moved, whether that be cut, traded, signed as free agency, could be moved. And this is mainly a list of starters from this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stafford?
Yes.
Kirk Cousins?
No.
No.
I do think it's a possibility if San Francisco comes calling.
No.
I think that's a possibility.
I don't think they would, though.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan has said several times how much he admires Kirk Cousins as a
player. I mean, look,
hold on. Kirk Cousins, like, credits his, like, ability to land the job with the Vikings to Kyle Shanahan. I don't think it's out of the question.
That's
Niners, who are definitely, I believe, according to all these reports, they're in on Stafford. So they are definitely looking for an upgrade at quarterback. If they can't get Stafford, I think Cousins, his contract is not that bad anymore. It's mostly paid by the Vikings at this point. And you can, you know, I don't think it's out of a question. It's not going to happen. It's just this is a possibility.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying, can't we treat those Kyle Shanahan comments about Kirk Cousins as what, like a sign for help? Because he is sick and tired of trying to make the whole Jimmy G thing work.
But think about it. I mean, with Kirk Cousins on a super well-coached San Francisco team with a great defense, that team can win the Super Bowl.
I
know Kirk Cousins is a pretty decent quarterback. Like, he's above average, but
in the right situation,
I don't trust. He can win games. I don't trust Kirk Cousins in a Super Bowl setting. I think he'll fold.
We don't know, Bo. We've never seen it.
That's true. We don't know.
I think it's worth a gamble for them. So that one, Deshaun Watson, I think we all agree on that it seems like he's totally done in Houston. Yep. Minshew.
Yes.
Yeah.
Derek Carr. I think
no. I don't think so. No, not this year. No. Next year. Next year.
Next maybe. Year, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, after this, he actually played pretty well this year, so I don't think so.
But Gruden's yeah. always looking to upgrade, and say he comes calling for Stafford. You don't think there's a deal where they send a first and Derek Carr for Matthew Stafford?
They can't get rid of the first one. They need as much help and any sort of avenue they can to get better on defense. Like, they need anything to get better on defense. But they can't give up.
Gruden has yeah. talked
and I don't over think so. And
over again about how he wants like a household name quarterback.
That and that's fine, but he can't give up a first for a quarterback right now. He just can't. His defense is horrendous, dude. It's horrible.
I think that I also think that in any like I don't think the Lions' new front office is going to want to be locked into an average starting quarterback. Like, they're going to want to swing for the fences on a guy they think can develop into a star. Carr's mm-hmm. just not that guy. He's not bad, but he's not that guy.
But
so I don't think they have any interest in taking Carr back.
Get out of his contract next year. He can be the bridge guy this year.
Maybe, but I don't know. I mean, maybe if they had Lance in their sights, but I think if they draft Fields or Wilson, I would expect they'll just start him from day one.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, that is another possibility. Like, if Matthew Stafford gets what he is worth, which is probably at least a first-round pick, they're definitely going to have the ammo to move up and yep. try to get mm-hmm. one of those top three spots. Which I think is – I've been saying this forever on Twitter. I'll just say it now. I don't think – I think it's no matter what, in some order, it's Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, 1, 2, 3. I don't think there's any – like, just the way the league has progressed, and people will tell you all you want, there will be all this smoke screening at the combine, but these like elite quarterback prospects, they just don't last anymore. I think they're all gone within the top five at least.
Yeah. I currently, if everybody were to stand pat, which I don't expect, but I currently would have Lawrence going 1, Wilson going 2, and Fields going 4. That would currently be where I had him at, but you know, obviously there's going to be teams moving around. So.
And it sounds like one guy that didn't make my list, speaking of 4, Matt Ryan. If you listen to everything.
He's not moving this year.
Yeah. Next year though.
Yeah. If you listen to everything.
Next year, I think next year he's gone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is for this year. If you listen to everything Arthur Smith has said, I think part of the reason they brought him in is they are going to try this one more time with Matt Ryan. I think they're going to draft a wide receiver with that 4th overall pick, get someone who's more consistent to kind of jump into, you know, aging and injured Julio Jones spot. And they're going to try to, you know, improve defense a little bit. And if you look at the defense, I mean, it doesn't need much improvement. Dan Quinn just didn't maximize them. I mean, Raheem Morris turned them into like a top 11, 12 defense down the stretch. I don't really think they need much work on the defensive side, to be completely honest with you. Maybe a pass rusher, but I really do think that if you listen to, you know, Arthur Smith, they're going to go heavy offense this year, look for some kind of running back to be a Derrick Henry type, add another wide receiver, and try this one more time with Matt Ryan.
I think the Falcons are going to sign Chris Carson in free agency.
Yeah, ew. Possible.
Ew.
There are some interesting running backs available this
free agency. I'd rather them draft Najee.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, Aaron. Not at 4, and he's not going to be available with their 2nd pick.
No, not at 4. I mean, I'm –
whoops, they'd have to trade back into the first round. Yeah, they'd have to trade back into the first round again, which I don't think they'll do.
Fair.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
No, that's – I mean, I just I agree. They'll try to build around Ryan for one more run. If he looks bad this upcoming season, then they move on from him when it's actually possible.
And it should be noted, contract. I was super critical of Matt Ryan this offseason, if you remember, Trey. He was really good this year. I mean, it was not Matt Ryan. I thought he played
think he was good. Well.
I wouldn't say I don't think he was really good. He was good. He was good. He was really probably well. just outside the top 10, I would say.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me. Yeah, that is.
Probably, but I would not argue with anyone that had him.
He was right
between 8 and 10.
He was right there with Murray, Cousins, and Mayfield. Murray, Cousins, Mayfield, Ryan were all like the same level.
As much as I love Baker Mayfield, I think Matt Ryan played a markedly better season than Baker Mayfield did.
I mean, you can make an argument for that. I thought they had pretty similar seasons, but you could make an argument for that.
All right. Moving on, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, of course.
Daniel Jones.
No.
Could be.
I don't think – not right
now. I think there's an opportunity where if they like one of these guys enough, they could trade
up. Well, here's the thing. I don't necessarily think Jones is gone from New York, but he could lose his starting job at some point.
Yes.
Next year.
He has to be here because he's on the franchise tag. And he also has to be here because Jerry Jones is crazy. I mean, Dak Prescott. I mean, if Jerry somehow calls up the Lions and offer, it just would not shock me if Jerry Jones was like, hey, I don't want to pay Dak Prescott like $50 million. I'll give you, you know, my first round pick plus like 2 seconds next year for Matthew Stafford, and I'll let Dak Prescott walk. That just would not.
That's crazy. That's.
I mean,
would that shock you? I mean, this is Jerry Jones.
Jerry's an idiot, but it's just.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I've been saying for a while that an underrated possibility is that Prescott is the Washington football team starting quarterback next year.
Really?
I think it could have. I'm not saying it will. I still think the likeliest possibility is he's in Dallas.
I mean, legitimately, if he hits free agency, though, like, is there a shot, like, say you're the Jags or whatever. I mean, I'd take Dak Prescott over Trevor Lawrence. I mean, and okay, they have unlimited cap space. That's an interesting what do you guys think of that?
Dak's got, if he were to go into unrestricted free agency, he'd have his pick of the litter of whoever he wanted to sign with. Like,
right.
So I don't
Jags
think he'd go
most,
to a place like Jacksonville.
But the Jags have the most cap.
Sure, but teams
who
can
else
make
can
cap.
Afford
I mean,
to
like,
sign him?
All you gotta do is get rid of some, like teams would just get rid of guys and figure it out. Like teams would be able to do it.
Yeah,
it's the cap is real, but like you can work it enough that as long as you have a reasonable amount of cap space, like anybody with a decent amount of cap space, even if they didn't have quite enough, would be able to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G, if you look at his contract, he like they could legitimately cut him this year and not really take that big of a hit.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he's somewhere else.
One's tough, and I know both of you are going to disagree with this, but he's on the list just because. No, I actually think that the Eagles are stubborn enough that Carson Wentz is totally safe.
Okay, I was trying to guess. Go ahead.
Is a guy I've mentioned a lot. And he's probably still on the team, but Jared Goff, I do think there's a shot that he somehow.
No,
not this season.
I think the only reason why I say no is because he's got such a big contract that I don't think he's really movable right now. But in terms of performance, yeah, like I totally would understand it. I don't really think it's tenable right now for the Rams to trade him.
Yeah, and especially because, I mean, I guess with Brandon Staley and how he work with that Rams defense last year, because the Rams were capped. They were in the cap hell last year.
If you That's listen, why they... here's my thing. If you listen to Sean McVay's like Monday after press conference after they lost, he would not commit to Jared Goff.
Flat. No, nobody should.
I just think that they're going to have a different starter next year, no matter what, whether that be through the draft or free agency or a trade or something. And he's probably still on the roster, but I just wanted to throw that out. I'm not a guy I see starting next year at all.
What's the chance you think the Rams take a younger guy in the draft, like the Eagles did with Carson, or like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts? Not because the Eagles did, because they needed to, but the Rams take a younger guy. They see if Jared Goff stinks it up.
I just don't. Right year, because I mean, like, I would expect the four top guys and honestly Mac Jones to be gone by the time their first round pick comes around. And
see, I think Mac Jones might be there.
I think he's going to. I think either Washington or Chicago will take that. Will take Jones ahead of the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So I just then your best option is, I guess, for most people would say Kyle Trask, who isn't good. So there's no reason for them to do that right now. Trask is not an upgrade over Goff. He's worse.
Yeah, Trask is not.
No, I don't think I said that. I said he's not a market upgrade.
Okay. Nobody who would be in.
What do you think of Jamie Newman? I've been interested in him
recently. I don't like him at all.
Oh, really?
He sucks.
Hmm.
He can't read a defense. He's inaccurate. He doesn't have a great deep arm. I would rather take Kellen Mond on day three and try to develop him.
Ooh.
Interesting. All right.
Like, I know. And I mean, it's tough because like this quarterback class has four really good prospects, and then it's all question marks.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a Mac Jones guy either. So
I don't think the top three are question marks personally. I've seen enough of each of them.
That's what I said.
Sorry. I apologize.
It's the top four guys, and Lance isn't quite as polished of a prospect, but he's still very talented.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get past the top three in Lance, then it's complete question marks. I mean, you have no idea.
Yeah.
Would the Broncos be smart to draft Trey Lance?
Yeah. Hmm. I think so.
I know nothing about him.
Definitely
quarterback.
I know nothing about Lance, him. I got to do some research.
My comp for Lance is Colin Kaepernick.
Really?
Hmm.
Well, Colin Kaepernick was not the best. Here's the thing.
He was not the most accurate passer.
He was not the best passer either. Hmm. Interesting. But
Kaepernick had a rocket arm, which Lance also does. Kaepernick ran very well, which Lance also does. And Kaepernick was spotty with his accuracy and his reads at times, which Lance is. And I'm not saying Kaepernick was an amazing quarterback, but he was around that like borderline top 10 range for a few years.
Yeah.
And I think that's about what you're going to get out of Lance. I think if he develops well, he can be a good to maybe great starting quarterback. You know, and I think you at least have a baseline of rushing and throwing it deep that I feel like his floor is very similar to what Drew Locke's is, but his ceiling is much higher.
Interesting. Yeah, I just don't see like a running quarterback as a fit for that team, but with the weapons they have. All right. Finishing up my list here, Jameis and Teddy, I think both are probably looking for new jobs next year.
You don't think Jameis stays in New Orleans?
Teddy's 50-50, I would say, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him gone. Yeah, Jameis is probably somewhere else.
I don't know. Part of me, it would not shock me to see Jameis Winston as the Saints week one starter. That just would not shock me at all.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's on this list because he is actually a free agent this year.
Oh, okay. So
he can choose wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So if someone else wants to take a shot at him, like they could, but I do think you're onto something, Trey. Like, Sean Payton invested in him, honestly, more than he did Taysom Hill. And
no, he didn't. No, he didn't. Taysom Hill got a 2-year, $21 million contract, and Jameis got a 1-year, like, vet minimum.
And Jameis Taysom to start over.
Yeah, but I think in those two starts, Sean Payton saw the light. Because after those two starts, Taysom Hill was just not involved. Like, I really do think he saw the light.
Well, I hope he did, for his sake. I have to lose any respect I have for a coach if they rule out Taysom Hill as their week one starter.
Listen, Jameis was not bad. That one play was literally the highlight for the Saints offense. And that was like, I got so excited.
They had a better chance to win that game with Jameis at quarterback than
they really did. Yeah. Like, I won't even front, dude. They really did.
Yeah, Breeze.
Breeze wasn't off. Yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, Breeze wasn't awful for the entirety of the season, but he was awful last weekend. I mean, like you said, Tampa figured it out that all they had to do was, like, roll off everything from all they had to do was stack 8 in the box,
exactly,
their dudes right on New Orleans receivers, and they knew Breeze couldn't throw it over their heads.
I honestly can't believe that teams hadn't been doing that all year long. I cannot because, believe the Saints had that. Man,
that was so annoying, dude. It was so simple. Like Walker said, stick as many as you can in the box, stick your guys in press. And then can dial up whatever attention you have left on Alvin Kamara. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
And it works.
Trust me, it was very frustrating to watch the Lions play them early in the season and just let Breeze sit back there and dink and dunk through their zone defense.
Yeah, I never understood that. There were, like, so many teams this year that just let them get, like, 10, 15-yard passes. And, like just prevent those and they have nothing. That's how limited he was this year. Like, exactly. This was not, you know, a one game thing, you know?
It's the whole year, bro.
Yeah. Anywho, so let's just compile our list here of teams currently in need of a quarterback. And by in need, I mean, Either there's a market upgrade or, you know, nothing at all. So, like, take probably Jared Goff and, you know, Daniel Jones off the list.
Okay.
So, Denver needs a QB.
Yep. New England needs one.
New England.
Chicago. New England needs one. Well.
Chicago.
Do we put Chicago in there?
Yeah, Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Detroit, obviously.
Detroit, yeah. What's the team I was just
– Washington.
Jacksonville.
San Francisco, too.
Yep.
Washington. Jets.
Yep.
Texans. Indy.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Saints.
Yep.
Yep. I think you can put the Giants on there, man. I think Daniel Jones has showed us enough to say he's not the guy.
Giants. Yep. Niners.
I mean, the Eagles need one, but, like, I don't know if they're in a position to actually
get one. They're not qualified because they have legitimately said, like, 18 times they're not, like – this guy,
they can't trade Wentz anyway. So,
by the way, the random bro that just got that job, I don't know. I
heard about that. That
Sirianni,
Jesus, like Garrett Bienemy doesn't have a job yet, but that's a thing for another day. I mean, he's got a checkered past, sure, but I mean, you're telling me a white coach with those same concerns wouldn't have a job by now? Come on now.
Carolina needs a quarterback.
Different issue. Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina probably. Yeah.
That's all I can think of right now.
That's probably about it.
So Denver, say. New England, I mean, Chicago.
Like you say, the Rams.
Sorry,
like, I think like we're you said, the Rams could use an upgrade, but they're just not gonna. They're not gonna be able to because it's just the situation. So it's exactly. not realistic.
Denver, yeah. New England, Chicago, Detroit, Jacksonville, Washington, Jets, Texans, Colts, Saints, Giants, Niners, Panthers. Did I forget anyone?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there one more? Trying to think. Just one more.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
So you're right. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. So for a while there, I would argue over the past 2 years, every NFL team had a quality starting quarterback. But I think for the first time ever, next year we're going to go into the year with teams that just straight up do not have the answer at quarterback.
Yeah.
Or even the potential for answer at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Because what I mean by that is, like, you could have said last offseason Drew Lock was the potential at quarterback. But, yeah. Like, there's no more, like, it's going to be kind of rough at that position, especially with the lack of guys in the first round, it seems. There's only four, you know? So.
And it's weird because I think this year we had, it was last year or this year where we came into the season thinking that, all right, there's not really a lot of quarterback. This was like, that was like the first season where we had most of the teams across the league that had some sort of one-year stability plans at quarterback. And now we're just in chaos with 14 teams, like we just counted off needing some upgrades. So chaos. Do you like that? Love chaos, man.
I do like chaos. So yeah, let's hit on briefly. He's in our intro. He's in our podcast intro. Phil Rivers retires.
Mm-hmm.
Sad day, to be quite honest. Phillip Rivers is legitimately one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, I think. He doesn't quite rank in my personal top five of guys I've liked to watch, but he is. He's up there. And, I mean, he was such a character and, you know, such, you know, really a funny guy. An interesting guy, has like 11 children. Like, the man is just so much more than just a football player. And he, you know, gave ultimate, you know, entertainment for all those years. And honestly, we want to talk about guys with wasted careers. You know, the fact that he played with basically LaDainian Tomlinson and Keenan Allen, and who's the tight end? Antonio Gates, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he played with all those guys, and the fact those Chargers teams never made a deep play, like never made a Super Bowl run.
It was always something with those teams, dude.
Is like,
God,
this, like, that's sad. But, I mean, the real question everyone's been asking, of course, is he a Hall of Famer? Some people have said
yes.
No. Some people have said yes. I lean on yes, but I understand the argument for no, that he doesn't really have any postseason success, and everyone is going to put up numbers like him in this generation. Like, there's just no question about it. Like, he hit the league right when, you know, the passing rules shifted, so it was all offense. And, you know, I think that's interesting, because if he makes the Hall of Fame, there are going to be a lot, it'll be really interesting, because then there will be a lot of a huge case for guys like Matthew Stafford to make the Hall of Fame if Matthew Stafford never, you know, wins a title, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So because Stafford, if you look at it, like by the end of his career, is going to be up there in terms of passing records. Like he'll be in the top five by that point, right? Because I mean, like he's put up spectacular numbers, but I mean, yeah.
So I still think Rivers is a Hall of Famer, though.
Yeah, interesting.
Probably a second or third ballot guy, though.
Walker, describe Philip Rivers' game.
Stand in the pocket, read the defense, pick holes in the zone. I mean, he was very good at that, though. Like, he had a really great touch. He was extremely accurate. He could, he was smart on the field, you know. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Sneaky good arm angles too. Like he kind of had the Mahomes type arm angles before Mahomes got in the league. Obviously, Mahomes, you know, is better at that stuff, but he was really good at like throwing off angle, not off platform, but you know, with different arm angles, he threw some nice balls.
Mm-hmm, especially with that funky arm slot that he had. It was the regular arm slot that he had throwing the football. I mean, it wasn't really a push shot, but it was like, I can't even describe it, dude. It was just a weird arm slot that he had throwing the football, but it always worked. And nobody
liked it, honestly. I know it looked weird, but that's part of the reason I like Philip Rivers so much. I like the throwing motion.
I mean, it was clinical. It looked like poetry. It didn't change, not one bit. Over his career, just stood in the pocket with that same motion, throwing dots all over the field. So it was a fun little motion to, I guess you say, watch and talk about, because it was just so different at the time. And this might sound boring, but some coaches have always had this weird, like, say, hey, this is how you're supposed to throw football like this. But Philip Rivers just took that advice and threw it in the trash and stomped on it and just put up records and all that crap. With the LA Chargers or the Chargers, man. So weird sort of mechanics for Philip Rivers, but he made it work and he put up all those numbers, which is respectable, to say the least. So,
yeah. Well, I think we should get out of here, but also do a little check in on championship week. I mean, we talked briefly about it last week. Trey, so I'm just going to put out a question here.
Okay.
Two questions. One is going to be, which game are you most excited for? And question two is, which quarterback of this Final Four has the most to gain legacy-wise from this weekend?
The game I'm most excited about is probably Chiefs-Bills. Simply because of that game has the potential to be so high scoring. Both teams love to throw the football up and down the field. I know we clowned you for saying Ravens Bills, for saying how Ravens Bills would turn out with the whole 59-56, you know, score that you gave out. But this game, this Chiefs Bills game, has the potential to be an actual classic because both teams are really good. Both teams love to throw the football, and both defenses. I mean. You have some stars on both sides, on both defenses, but they're not particularly good units overall, so we could see some points. So Chiefs-Bills is the game I'm most excited about. The quarterback that I think has the most to gain legacy-wise with this game, I will say Aaron Rodgers. And only because it's that Aaron Rodgers, we've seen him throughout his career put up all these numbers, but there's times when he's gotten to the playoffs and he's just simply fallen short time and time again. No, I can deny the talent and the numbers that he's put up, but there's always the rings conversation with quarterbacks and any other star players when you want to talk about legacy, though. So Aaron Rodgers beats Tom Brady and he wins another Super Bowl ring. He adds another to his name, and then we can start talking about Aaron Rodgers as, you know, I don't even know what to say, you know, call that and saying what we can talk about with Aaron Rodgers, maybe just another accolade onto his historic career. But that's just I think that's just Aaron Rodgers, me To me, I just think Aaron Rodgers has the one. Is the one quarterback that has the most game legacy wise. Tom Brady is a close second though, because you know the 14 conference championship games, he just added what, his seventh ring, sixth or seventh ring, to his finger, which would be, I don't know, that's insane to me. So,
I mean, I don't really think that Brady has anything to gain or lose. Like he's the GOAT. Like he's not.
Oh yeah, of course.
Not be the GOAT if he loses this game, but. I think with Rodgers, you're right, though. Like, if he wins his second Super Bowl, then you got to start talking about him as like a top three all time guy.
Especially with all the numbers he's put up. Also, carries sure. that whole brand of the Packers on his back and the way he became the franchise quarterback of the Packers, too. So.
True. I think for me, I'm more excited for Walker. Did you answer?
Oh, I'm more excited for the Chiefs Bills game just because I think there's going to be more points.
Okay. I'm more excited for Packers Buccaneers, honestly. I'm a sucker for the old guard. I really want to see Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. I think it's so underrated how Tom Brady is playing right now. I think that if you took every quarterback in the NFL and, you know, just gave an accumulative, including playoffs ranking, Brady would be like a top, honestly, probably the third or fourth best quarterback. What he has done is somewhat unreal. He's like in the top 10 in deep passes right now. Like he's still got his deep ball on like all these aging guys. And like, it's incredible to watch him. And I've been a Tom Brady hater for most of my life. But I decided, you know, a few years ago to stop that. I'm really rooting for them this weekend. I like Aaron Rodgers a lot, but I just want to see what happens. I mean, if Tom Brady got to another Super Bowl and, you know, somehow won a ring, like you have to start talking about him as the greatest athlete of all time, just period. And I'm kind of in on that. So I think that, you know, it matters for him. Legacy-wise, it is Josh Allen because I think for off-season quarterback lists that, you know, we like to debate on here and stuff, like winning does matter. And I mean, if Josh Allen ever outdueled Patrick Mahomes, I would put Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes in a quarterback ranking in the middle of the summer.
Laughable.
I don't think that's crazy. Wait, why is that laughable?
Not even close.
If he outplays Mahomes.
Because he's not.
If he outplays
Because it's one game sample size. One game sample size. I'm not even going to enter.
But I would argue he's outplayed Mahomes for a long stretch of this year. I would argue Mahomes has not been that good this year. He's been good, but
he's been the second best quarterback. He's been the second best quarterback in football. He has better completion percentage, more yards, more touchdowns. Better touchdown to interception ratio than Allen.
I think you're getting hit by the syndrome of forgetting how good Patrick Mahomes is. Yeah, because you expect so much out of him and you forget how good he is.
Just remember. That's possible. But yeah, I mean
Mahomes looked great. Mahomes looked great last week and Allen didn't.
True. Allen looked horrible last week.
Wind.
Oh my god.
Wind. They kept saying it's the wind, so I'm gonna listen and say potentially it was the wind. I hope he's not.
Oh crap. Yeah,
he has been streaky. All right. So let's just make these picks. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull up.
Oh yeah, we had the picks from when me and you did it, Eric, on Sunday.
We did, but I think I might want to change them. You know, okay. We were both tired on that one. You know, we now know Mahomes is playing for sure. You know, I feel okay. If you don't want to change,
I told him, you he was going to play. And you were worried, man. You were sick.
I was a little bit sick. I was not looking forward to the prospects of potentially having to watch, you know.
Chad Henne? Nobody wants to watch him.
That'd be funny, though.
That'd be disgusting.
All right. So let me actually calculate really quick. You two maybe chat for a half a second. Let me calculate these records here. So Trey is currently, let's see here.
I should be closer to getting those sandwiches, Eric.
Yeah, I had a bad weekend.
Really?
Two.
I'm close, man. See, Eric. See,
3-1. So you are currently 7-3, I want to say.
Walker, if I win this, I'm sending you some sandwiches, bro.
Hell yeah, that's my guy right there.
Yes, sir.
I went 6-0 wildcard weekend, but I went a grand total of 2-2 on this weekend. So 8-2. And then Walker went.
So yeah, Trey. I went 2-2, and I went 4-2 the first week, so I'm 6-4.
I think I went 3-1.
You're 6-4.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
6-4. So you two are tied for second.
I'm 6-4?
Trey's at second. You're at third. Yep. Let's start in the NFC. I'm going to go Buccaneers. 31, Packers 30.
Okay, I'll go Packers. Packers 28. Buccaneers 24.
Buccaneers 27, Packers 26.
Shoot, I got lost in the word, Doc. I'm going to need you to say that again, Trey.
Oh, I got Packers 28, Bucks 24.
And Walker.
Buccaneers 27, Packers 26.
Okay. Bucks 27. Packers 26.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so we've both got the Bucks. Trey's got the Packers. AFC, Trey.
I have Chiefs 35. No, Chiefs 34. Bills 30.
What? Chiefs 34. Bills 33?
No, 30.
30.
Bills
30.
Just
30.
Mm-hmm.
Is anyone taking the Bills here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Walker, tell me the score and why.
34-31, Buffalo. And just because I think that their defense is playing quite well right now, the difference between Matt Milano being healthy and Matt Milano not being healthy has been insane this season. Yeah. And he's healthy right now. I just think that both offenses are really, really good, and the Bills defense is playing better than the Chiefs defense right now. So, I mean, it could go either way. It really could, but I'm just going with the Bills because I think overall as a full team, they're playing a little bit better right now.
Fair.
Yeah.
What are you?
I this one's so tough for me. I think I'll go Chiefs. And I'll go. Well,
No, go Bills.
No, I can't do that. Go Bills. I can't do that. I mean,
go Bills. Go Bills.
I can't do that because I've been a Josh Allen guy since day one, and you know, allegiances mean something to me. And it might be dumb. It might lose me sandwiches, but I've still got. I'll still have a week left to make it up. Super Bowl picks will matter, and the Super Bowl, I think we're gonna pick. Scores will matter. We'll pick against the spread for the Super Bowl. I think that I will go Bills 42, Chiefs 41. And yeah, I think that's how it goes. So for those tracking at home, Trey has the Packers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Walker has the Bills and the Packers in the Super Bowl.
No.
No, the Bucks. No, no. Sorry.
I have the Bucks.
I misread that. And I also have the Bills and the Bucks in the Super Bowl. All right. Well, thanks both of you for joining me. This is gonna be a little bit of a longer episode, and we're not time stamping it just because, you know, there's not really clear delineations on where things started and ended. We are gonna be back Tuesday with a conference recap, and then it'll be 2 weeks off basically until Super Bowl week, and then Super Bowl week, I think. We're going to do several shows, and I might have something kind of in the works that I'll talk with you two about after we get done here. But anyways, thanks for joining us. Walker, why don't you plug where people can find yourself? Oh, and Trey is writing for a new site. So Trey, do some plugs as well, and we'll get out of here. Start Trey.
Oh, yeah. Still in my Titan Blast general content for Black Sports Online, but I've joined a new site, a local Nashville sports site called Broadway Sports. They cover Titans, Preds, and National Soccer Club, which is an MLS. A lot of good guys, smart guys on that team at Broadway, and a couple friends that I know on that staff. It's made the transition pretty, pretty easy to do. So looking forward to doing the work I'm doing over there, and I hope you, whoever's listening to this, I hope you enjoy my work on there too. So find me on Twitter at TreyWatkins099. I'll be posting more Broadway sports content, and I hope you enjoy.
Perfect. Walker.
You can follow me at Big Daddy Drix on Twitter. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, sorry. I always forget that plugging you is basically worthless.
Woo! Just follow the dopey joke account. Let's go.
All right. Thanks for listening at Enzo Pod, at Eric 18 Utah from me. All right. One sleep till championships. Let's do it. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.